Well, hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul Pretty. I'm the teaching pastor of our Marion campus. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Drivecast. This past Sunday, we continued in our Labels series, where we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke. And so I hope you've enjoyed that so far. I hope you've been able to now begin the reading plan, whether that was the physical book or a digital reading plan as well. Either is fantastic. And so hope you're able to continue to join us as the church in reading through the Gospel of Luke. Well, this past Sunday, where I ended up landing was this point that when we know the outcome, we receive peace and hope in the moment. So when we know the outcome, we receive peace and hope in the moment. And in order to get us there, I ended up telling a story that after, you know, about 30 minutes, I think made sense. And so we'll see how that translates here in a 5-minute drive cast. But the story I told was a story I actually heard from a guy named Kevin Ezell. He's actually the president of the North American Mission Board. And as a church planter, I got to go through orientation and really assessment to be a church planter through the North American Mission Board, and incredibly grateful for their training and partnership. But anyway, while I was at orientation, Kevin, Mr. Ezell, president of NAM, told a story about how he loves the University of Georgia basketball. He loves watching games. And he said early on in his marriage, he would be watching games and he would just start yelling at the TV. I mean, he'd start going crazy, just so emotionally invested in the game, so distraught, so upset. And his wife looked at him and basically said, "Look, man, you've got problems. Like, you have serious issues. The TV can't hear you." And maybe some of us have been in that similar spot, or if you have a spouse who does the same, you've probably said the same thing. The TV cannot hear you. And so Kevin took that to heart and started to make some changes. And so when the DVR technology came out where you could record live TV and watch it later, he started recording UG basketball games. And so when he knew the game would be over, he'd open up his phone or computer or whatever, and he would look up the score, the final score of the game. And if he saw that UG won the basketball game, he would then go to his TV, turn on the game that he had previously recorded, sit down, and watch the game. And if they were down 40 at halftime, he didn't have to get all that upset because he knew the ultimate outcome was a win. And so the reason I bring that up, and the reason I sort of told that story on Sunday, is because in Sunday's text, what we saw is these shepherds. And these shepherds, for whatever reason, were the ones who God chose to be the first to hear about the birth of Jesus, that the Savior is here. It's good news. The angel shows up and he shares this good news that Jesus is born and that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. And so the shepherds, they go and they verify that is true. They go, and then after they verify that Jesus really is born, he really is who the angel said he would be, they go and they tell everyone about this news, and then they worship and praise God. And I think in one sense, God telling the shepherds first goes directly into this label series. Shepherds at the time were the lowest of low, and God says, "No, this is news for everybody, and I'm going to demonstrate that by having the shepherds be the first to know." But how does that then tie to this point about when we know the ultimate outcome, it gives peace and hope in the moment? Well, what I thought was so unique to see was that the shepherds' circumstances didn't change. They were still social outcasts. They were still ostracized. They were still in this career trajectory that was a dead end. It's not like you could go to school for 4 years and become an accountant. Like, if you were a shepherd, you were a shepherd and that was it. But what we see is that while their circumstance didn't change, they knew the ultimate outcome, that this baby that was born would grow up to be their Savior. And because the Savior was here, while they still needed to wait in a sense for ultimate salvation, knowing the ultimate outcome gave peace, joy, and hope in the moment. And so where I brought our people on Sunday was to Revelation 21, beginning in verse 3, that says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away.'" You see, that's the end of the story. And because God is powerful enough to bring Jesus into the story, because he is powerful enough to orchestrate these circumstances that Jesus would be born in the city of Bethlehem, and he's from the tribe of Judah, he's of the line of David, all of these specific things, because God is all powerful, and because he proved that in the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, and then the resurrection of Jesus, what that should do is it should give us peace and hope in the moment. And what it should do is encourage us to be like the shepherds, to share that good news with anybody and everybody that we see, so that they can experience peace, hope, and ultimately they can receive salvation through the blood of Christ on the cross. And so that's really where I took things this morning, and I hope that's an encouragement to you, that because God is who he says he is, and because God did what he said he would do, and Jesus really did come, and he really did live, and he really did die, and he really did live again, we can have confidence knowing that the end of the story really is the end of the story. God wins. And when you and I unite ourselves with God through faith in Christ, that's what we can experience. And that's what we can have certainty knowing that we will experience someday, again, through faith in Christ. And that, again, should encourage us to share that good news with others in the same way the shepherds share it with others. Even though the labels they carried were outcast and rejected, they said, no, I'm chosen, I'm known, I'm seen. And you need to be chosen, known, and seen to place your faith in Christ. So I hope that's an encouragement for you today. I want to take a minute to pray this morning. And I also want to say thanks again for joining us on the DriveCast. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow. So let's take some time to pray that God would give us just peace in the moment. And he'd also give us encouragement to live beyond the label maybe we've placed on ourselves, or maybe we've placed on another, that we would share that good news with others. Father, we do thank you that we know the ultimate outcome because of your word, and because you made good on your promises that Jesus would come and be all that you said he would be. And Jesus, thank you for living and dying in our place and living again so that we could have new life in you. God, I pray that that reality and that truth and that the guarantee of the promises that are to come would overwhelm us, not with fear and anxiety, but with peace, hope, and joy. And that as a result of that peace, that we would desire so much to share you with others, because the gospel is for all people. It's for everyone, every tribe, tongue, and nation. Every person who carries with them a label of broken or of outcast here and now, God, you've made us the messengers to bring the good news of Jesus to them. And so, God, would you work in us? Would you move in us? Would you do in us only what you can do, so that we would see your glory? We would worship you and praise you. Father, we love you, and we come to you because of the blood of Christ. Amen. Thank you.